Lucas Oil Stadium, the home of the Indianapolis Colts, this week, home of the 2017 NFL Scouting Combine, an annual reunion in the National Football League. This year, though, the media center, not at Lucas Oil, it's across the street. Bigger and better than ever at the Indiana Convention Center, and that's where we start our coverage on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. J.P. Shadrick, senior writer John Osier. Different setting this year, but always big news comes out of this week.
Well, it's bigger. I'm not going to go better yet.
It's one day in.
I'm not saying it won't be better. I'm saying I'm not ready to call it better right now. So let me give that one some time. No, it's obviously getting bigger and bigger every year. I told somebody last night, I think this is my 17th straight combine, which I missed three or four of them at the beginning of covering the NFL. Thought I'd never get here because it wasn't in 95 when I started covering the league. If you didn't go to the combine, it was like, okay, you didn't go to the combine. No big deal. And over time, like a lot of about this league, it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. We're in a convention center now, JP, yep. And I'm looking over and there's eight podiums talking to GMs. I first covered this thing in 2001, and in order to get Tom Coughlin, the head coach, I had to follow him out on a Saturday afternoon. It was that real slushy snow you get. He was walking to Mass, and I had to chase him down in the middle of, I think it's Maryland Street out there, because there was really no access for coaches because the point of the story is it wasn't considered a news point for the NFL. Yeah. It was not a date on the tour stop, if you will, where there's the combine, the owners' meetings. It was very much a football, you are here, and the media is sort of here and get what you can. And no player interviews that year. No player interviews for the first two or three years I covered it. You had to grab guys coming out of hotels. Mm-hmm. It is now a media/football event as opposed to just a football event in the midnight.
So we have plenty to get to today. Doug Marrone, Jaguars head coach, was on the podium moments ago. You saw it live here on Jaguars.com. He'll join us on set and break down a little more of what he discussed earlier today.
And some things we want to get to with Doug, because there was stuff on the podium didn't get asked. It'll be interesting talking to him in the next few minutes.
We'll get some social questions for the Jaguars head coach as well. And from Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio will join us on set. Always fun to have Mike on to get a national perspective of the Jaguars. You know, and Doug Marrone earlier today, I don't know if he really broke any new ground there. We've heard all this before. The folks who don't get to talk to Doug on a regular basis might have heard some things new. And especially he answered a lot of Buffalo questions today, which
From a national perspective, I think the Buffalo stuff's interesting because it's been 3 years. And he said off the podium, people were asking about the Bills. And it was Ryan O'Halloran and I and some local reporters off the podium. And he goes, you know, I had trouble remembering what was going on. You know, asking about Jairus Byrd. And he's like, I think I was right. But it's been 2 or 3 years, and there's a short memory. He's had a lot going on since then. So he was kind of laughing. He was like, I don't know if I really answered their questions or not. But he also said, hey, at the end, there were mistakes that he made that he had learned from and certainly gave the impression of feeling – I don't know if more prepared is the right word, but having learned from what happened in Buffalo and probably feels like those experiences helped him in coming to this second chance, this new situation. So not surprising, but it's the first time I've heard him talk along those lines.
Yeah, and you always kind of learn from what happened in the past, and we heard that today from Doug Marrone. We'll get into more of the assistant coaches today as well with the Jaguars head coach. We haven't had a chance to really break down some of the hires that he made in those positions this year. He talked about the coordinators a bit and some of the former Coughlin assistants that are on staff now. So we'll delve into that a little bit more, too. That'll be interesting because he was in every single interview and pretty much there the whole time. That's what Tom said last week.
Yeah, and not surprising, it's his staff. One of the key points right as he came off the podium, which fans really won't get to see, he spent 4 or 5 minutes talking about the relationship between Tom Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, Doug Marrone. Doug's office is about 15 yards away from Tom's. And he talked about this is fantastic because he's always considered Tom a mentor. I think always wanted Tom to be a mentor. And for a while, Tom really wasn't doing much mentoring because he said, I'm not even sure Tom knew who I was for a long time. And I will get him to talk about that a little bit, perhaps. But now he's really enjoying, if he has a question about how to structure practice, if he has a question about how to approach a certain situation, he really is enjoying being able to go ask Tom, who he obviously considers, the ideal head coach philosophy-wise, et cetera, et cetera. it was interesting to hear him talking about that because he loves that situation. It's very clear.
It's not a bad thing when you have a two-time Super Bowl winning head coach.
And the money quote on the podium, I think, he talked about, he said, I see Blake Bortles as our quarterback.
Yes.
And, you know, there's been some interpreting going on whenever Tom talks. The first time he talked, everybody said, yes, Tom believes in Blake. On Friday, there was question, well, maybe he didn't come out as strong as Blake. You know, the impression you get from listening to Doug, this team's going forward with Blake Bortles. They're building things around him, but they also know they've got to get better around him. Everything needs to be done to help Blake. As Dave Caldwell said on Friday, Blake's the leader. Blake's the odds-on favorite to start. Something pretty dramatic is going to happen to knock that off, and I think that's what Doug was getting at today.
And not to say there won't be another quarterback on this team in camp. I mean, it's right. Three arms now. You need a fourth. What kind of guy is that? I don't know. But that,
I think all options
that today,
are open, but I don't think it's – I don't get a feeling that they are scrambling and just, boy, we have to get something because this ain't going to work. There's a perception out there among the fans, I think, that that's how it should be feeling. I don't get that feeling from listening to Doug today.
Be interesting to hear from the Jaguars head coach coming up. You know, he's asked about over on the podium, Chris Ivory. You know, a lot of money going out to the running back position. Do you expect to get more carries? A little early for all that talk is what Doug was going with, but is it? What do you think?
Is it
too early?
Early to talk because there's no question in the thread running through every time Tom has talked, Doug talked in the introductory press conference. The thread is we've got to be physical. We've got to run. Nathaniel Hackett's the offensive coordinator. Nathaniel Hackett, in his first game as offensive coordinator, committed to the run. They ran for 220 against Kansas City. Didn't quite keep up that sort of pace, but this team wants to dictate running. It's what they did in Buffalo. It's what Doug likes to do. Physicality, all those things. I don't think the running game, meaning offensive line, running back approach, will look on September, whatever the opening date is, like it did at the end of last season. I think there's still changes to come. And, again, I don't know that the starting running back's on the roster.
Yeah, and who knows if the what the offensive line as a whole is going to look like even.
Yeah.
There could be changes up front, too, to help that run game as well.
Yeah, and, you know, you want to sort of say right now, what is the approach going to be? Well, they haven't had free agency yet. There's still a chance Kelvin Beachum comes back. There are chances, you know, it's hard to say exactly what it'll look like until they get through free agency in the draft and see what they have. But the direction, the bent that they seem to be taking is when we can get physical and improve running, we're going to make moves toward that as often as we can. And it's hard to say what those moves are going to be, obviously, because we haven't hit free agency yet. But it feels like there will be a slant in that direction.
Defensive
pretty
talk.
Pretty hard slant.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Defensive talk as well. Todd Wash back as defensive coordinator. That doesn't mean it's all going to look the same, obviously.
Yeah, and I want to ask Doug when he's here how what that is going to entail because he really wasn't asked a whole lot today. How much scheme change? Tom talked Friday a little bit, and Doug talked a little bit today about evolving and tweaking. You know, is it going to be a very similar defense to what it was last year or not. And the big man's coming, so we can ask him.
Here he comes. Jaguars head coach Doug Marone was with our radio partner, 1010XL, and will join us now on set, the Jaguars head coach here at the NFL Scouting Combine. Doug Marone making the rounds today. Put the headset on correctly. There you go.
There we go.
I'm going to move back so you can see J.P. Shadrick, Doug. How about that?
I like it.
Well, you're the only one.
Move up so you can block them.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
How are you, Coach?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good to see you.
Busy day today.
I like you guys with the blazers on.
We're trying to
have your Jaguar pen.
Yeah, where's your pen, John?
Where's your pen? Branding.
Look at the brand.
So let's start.
Right,
let's go. You know, hey, here we are. This thing is bigger and bigger. This side is bigger than it's ever been, right?
It's different than the last time, you know, where it was just the one podium up there and then had Media Row. Now they have a bunch of things going on at one time. A little multitasking.
No doubt about that. Are you comfortable back in the podium again as the head man here?
Yeah, this time of year is always tough, you know, to be comfortable, you know, because, you know, really it's not, you know, the players aren't in. There's a lot of things going on. You have to, you know, staff together. You're trying to get the playbooks together. You have free agency. You're here at the draft. There's a million things. People could come at you in a million different ways. And so it's always not as steady. You can come, you know, you can ask me anything right now, yeah. You know, and I'll be prepared for it.
Nice.
Well, I'll ask you this because you talked about it off the podium, and the fans are watching this, so
sure.
I want them to hear this. The relationship and how much you're enjoying the relationship with Dave and Tom, particularly Tom. That was fascinating to hear.
Yeah. Oh, it's been unbelievable. I mean, I think people don't realize maybe the fans don't realize the history that we do have.
Right.
You know, at first, when I first started to get out in coaching, I tried to get a graduate assistant job when Coach was the head coach at Boston College. And I think you've heard the story in the press conference. I called him up in the middle of the night at his hotel room, woke him up, and you know, I think that pretty much, you know, ticked them off a little bit. And obviously I didn't get the job. And then when I kind of worked my way up in the coaching ranks, and then Coach was coaching the NFL, when he first came to the Giants, I was at the Jets. So our rooms were next to each other here in Indy over at the not the train station, but where the hotel is. So I used to always try to get out there so I could say hello to Coach because we both went to Syracuse. You know, that I was trying to use that connection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It didn't really help me back then. So I'd say to Coach Coughlin, hey, Doug Marone, Syracuse University. Like, hey, Doug, how you doing? Nice seeing you. And Coach is gone. You know, Coach doesn't waste time. He's not going to sit around and BS. But I was fortunate when I went to Syracuse as the head coach, Floyd Little was an assistant AD. Well, Floyd Little obviously played in the same backfield as Coach Coughlin and Larry Zonka. So I had told Floyd, I said, you know, I've always admired Coach Coughlin. I always felt that, you know, I've run the program, you know, a lot like he runs his program. I'd love to be able to, you know, talk to him. So Floyd had gotten us together. So we started talking when he was at New York and I was at Syracuse. So I would meet with him. And we have, you know, this time the same philosophy. It's the same way we want to do things, the same culture, same way we want to build a team. So we talked through Syracuse, and then when I went to Buffalo, you know, he was a mentor. I'd say, hey, Coach, how do you handle this? How do you do this? So we had this very good relationship going on. But it was always tough for me because sometimes I call, you know, Coach is working. You know, so I'd say, hey, Coach, I'm not going to be available till, you know, this day at this, you know, I got 15 minutes for you. So I'd only have 15 minutes, whereas now – it's awesome. Now, like I said before, now I first started, I'd knock. I'd wait for Coach to say, okay, come in. I walk in. Now I knock and I walk in at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So I think that says I'm doing a good job. It's approved by him right now. So I'm working on the next phase of where I can just kind of just walk in the office. But for me,
that phase may take a while.
I think that's going to take a while. Right. But I'm saying for me, it's great because, you know, here's someone that's done it. Here's someone that's been successful. Here's someone that, you know, is literally a stone throw away from me being able to ask questions. And as far as the three of us working as a team, it's been outstanding because, you know, I don't think there's a stone that's been unturned. I mean, I really don't. I think we go through things so many times, you know, being so thorough, being on point, being on the same page. It's exciting. It really is because that, I think, around the league, that's difficult to do.
Tom Coughlin talked on Friday back at Everbank Field, and he talked a lot, Coach, about toughness, and there needs to be more of that on the team and in the league as a whole. How do you find that in a guy? How do you find out if he's a tough player?
I think watching the tape. I really do. I used to do that in college. I used to say to myself, okay, when you watch a player, finish a play. You watch him finish a play. You watch him play against, maybe a player that's better than him. You see how he fights and competes against him. But then also watch that player against a player that he may be better than. You know, to see how he plays. Is he a player that plays to the level of competition? You know, who's just going to play, you know, full out the whole time. Watch how they hustle to the football, run to the football. Watch how they celebrate with their teammates. You know, there's a lot of things that go in. I don't think there's a perfect answer for it, but you're looking for a lot of clues, you know, to find that player that's tough. And, you know, a lot of it is, hey, tell me, you know, what's the greatest adversity you faced in your life and how you gotten through that? You know, things of that nature that you can see the mental aspect or the mental makeup of a player because, you know, that's the one thing that you need to be successful. You got to be tough. It starts up front, you know, with the offense and defensive line. People talk about it a lot, in my experience, but you have to not only talk about it, you have to practice it. And I think that's the main thing. And I think when we start out with our players, when we look to when we practice, and there's really not much you can do, and I think this is what Coach would probably – I don't want to talk for Coach, but, you know, I know my feeling is that you don't have a lot of times where you're in full pads. You know, you don't have double sessions anymore. So it's very difficult. You know, you have to make sure that you put the players in that type of adversity where you're going out there and you're taking that time, maximizing that time, you know, to be physical and to be tough and be very competitive with each other. And that's what we're looking for.
A couple of social media questions before you get out of here.
What does that mean?
Not a social
guy? I'm like the...
Who knew?
You're a closet social
exactly.
media guy.
Yeah, you've got an account somewhere. No, we don't know what it is.
Never had one, never will.
Let's start off with Dan Johnson on Facebook. Where are two areas you want to improve this year as a coach that you feel in the past you might have struggled with? You touched on this at the podium earlier today.
Yeah, communication. Yeah. I think one of the things, being available, not necessarily within the building, but here, like right now. You know, a lot of times, you know, I'm so focused in on what my job is and what we have to do that a lot of times people would say, you know, hey, you never smile. You know, you never, you know, you always look this, or you're very cautious and everything. You know, let people see who you are, the side of you, you know, the fans and the people understand. Now, you know, so I think that's number one. Hey, this is who I am. This is what I believe in. This is what I want to do. And then I think the next thing is just being better at, you know, preparing the team to be physical and tough and winning more. I mean, really, at the end of the day, you know, I've always taken over teams that have been difficult and had gotten them better, but never gotten them to over the top or stayed long enough to get it to see it through. I want to see this thing through. I want to get this team to where the town, the city of Jacksonville, the region, you know, they can walk around and say, hey, you know, I'm proud of this team. It's just like this town. Tough working players, working hard, going to work every day, earning these wins, and making people proud of their team.
One last one from Facebook. This is from Andrew Flores. Has anyone ever told you that you look like Alec Baldwin?
I don't know about Alec. They tell me I look like the younger, chubbier one. Honestly, I was like, yeah. I mean, because I lived on Long Island. So when I worked for the Jets, I lived on Long Island. So a lot of people would say, hey, you look like one of the Baldwin brothers. And I'd say, which one? They go, you know, the short one, the kind of stocky one. You know, that was them being nice. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, the fat one. Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, but I do get that a lot, you know. But obviously I don't have the same type of career that Alec Baldwin had. You know,
well, you're
I definitely
there.
Have a better – I definitely have a lower temper, right? I mean, okay. For sure there. All right? And I'm not going to go that way. But I do get that a lot.
It's interesting. I never really thought about that.
I know. I wish, like, my wife would look at me like that if she likes to ball with people. You know what I'm saying? You know, she's always looking at me like, you know, God, look, you know, hey, what are you eating? Watch what you eat. Watch what you do.
Doug, good to see you, man.
All right, man. Day. Awesome.
Doug, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Jaguars
have a great week.
Coach joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Our coverage continues throughout the week here on Jaguars.com. We'll have live tomorrow, live Friday, more coverage on Saturday as well. Plenty to get to here in Indianapolis. Jaguars head coach, Baldwin lookalike, Doug Marone.
Yeah, and interesting – in the three or four times that we've talked to Doug and Tom, it's so clear what they want this franchise to be, the commitment to toughness, to run. You know, the tone is set.
Yeah.
And he clearly has learned some things from the Buffalo experience. They talked about a little bit more today. Wants to be a little more accessible. Wants fans to sort of understand who he is. JP, you've gotten to know him a little bit over the years. Good personality, nice guy,
yes.
A funny guy, but he is so intense.
Yes, he's got an intense, serious side.
It's hard to see that sometimes. And I passed him in the hallway for 2 years, don't know him that well, so you don't see that side of it. And yet I think fans are starting to see through situations like this that he's a personable guy and certainly very passionate about doing the job for this team.
And great to hear from the head coach. Dave Caldwell is scheduled on the podium tomorrow. We'll have him on Jaguars.com Live tomorrow here in Indianapolis. And we're out to Mike Florio. It's a busy day here on Radio Row, and actually he's coming up with us right now here on Jaguars.com Live. Now, this will be interesting. We always visit with Mike here at the Combine every year to get a perspective on the Jags. And now there has been notable change, of course, in the Jaguars front office, and it's always nice to have the perspective from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk joining us on Jaguars.com Live. We appreciate the time. How are you?
This is live.
This is live.
Like, so, like, I can't say, well, forget it. I won't say it.
Yeah, no, say what you want to say.
Were you ready to dump me?
No. Yeah, I was. That was the live delay button.
Let's try it. Right.
Hey, it works.
I didn't say anything.
Funny how that works.
It's like the Jimmy Kimmel, the unnecessary censorship. Right. I didn't say. All I did was go off.
You were good.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. What's up, man? This is a different setup this year for you guys, especially the big set over here.
Yeah, right? That's our set. And you know what? To get some exercise, I actually climb up it and do like chin ups. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
That's after 4 days of that, you're going to be Doug Marone.
I only do one.
One set.
Let's start off with the changes in Jackson. Tom Coughlin's back in the house. I mean, he's the guy that there was some success under, head coach Jack Del Rio in the early, mid-2000s. But the great success of the franchise was in the 90s when Coughlin was around and running the show and running the team, doing all that. Can he recreate that kind of magic here is the question.
Well, but he's not the coach. See, that's the problem. And I think that's going to be the challenge. And I've tried to be very objective about this because, first of all, I don't think the Giants should have fired Tom Coughlin. It was such a weird vibe where he's the only problem and everybody else is there and guys get promotions. How can it only be him? And it's unfortunate that they made it to the playoffs the first year after him because it almost validates the idea that it was him. Yeah. I don't think it was him. So now you've got Coughlin as the executive VP of football operations and Doug Marone is the coach. And I'm going to be fascinated to see if Tom Coughlin can stay in his lane. Because when Mike Holmgren was essentially in that same position in Cleveland, the surrogate owner is really what he was. It drove him crazy on game days. He doesn't want to be up in the suite. He wants to be down on the field. And you have to wonder what kind of relationship ultimately arises between Coughlin and Marone if Coughlin is coaching Marone on how to coach and participates in coaching. And here we are at the first practice, and he's showing them how to hit the sled. And that's in Tom Coughlin's DNA, and I don't know how you shut that down. I would have a hard time if I were Tom Coughlin, and I know what I know, and I've been through what I've been through, and I've won two Super Bowls. I would have a hard time biting my lip and moving on. But Bill Parcells was able to do it. Bill Parcells was able to quit coaching. That's going to be the challenge. Can Tom Coughlin quit coaching and let Doug Marone coach and not have the first hour after every game a meeting between Marone and Coughlin with all the things that Doug Marone did that Tom Coughlin wouldn't have done? And because I don't think that's going to lead to a good outcome for anybody if that occurs.
And you would hope, knowing Bill Parcells, that Tom would take a page out of that book. But as you say, you don't know until it actually happens.
We're working on your headset here, by the way, Mike. There we go.
That was like somebody coming down from on high. As you look at this upcoming free agency, I guess what does the class look like after all the franchise tags have been applied? How strong is it, and can a team get better during this time?
Well, we saw the Giants last year spend a lot of money, and they did get better. We always say, oh, be careful, don't spend money in free agency, you won't get better. But you can spend money, and you can get better if you get the right guys. And, the franchise tags take a lot of guys out of the mix, but the reality is that if the Jaguars spend the right way, they can work it out. So, and I have to run.
I know,
I told you I could do
it.
Sure. Yeah, but because they changed
the
schedule.
That's how it goes, man.
They show up, and then they're ready to talk to us.
We appreciate the time we got with you.
You guys are here all week. I'll probably come storm in and drop a few F-bombs later.
Let's do it. We can mute you out.
You just gave me the finger, too.
No, I didn't. I was going to mute you.
All right.
He does that all the time.
All right.
Mike, thanks.
All right, buddy.
Pro Football Talk. At Pro Football Talk on Twitter here on Jaguars.com. My busy day around the combine. Schedules change. People come and go. He's got to interview coaches for later and executives.
As busy as he is, nice of him to stop by. It is tough, and that's the challenge, is scheduling guys, because they have jobs to do as well. When you're media talking to media sometimes, believe it or not, JP, media actually has a job to do sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. It's
good to know. Good
it's
to
crazy
know.
Stuff. But
that'll do it for our show today, John.
Okay, well, that's fine.
I know you've got writing to do coming up to write off Doug Marone today. Right?
Well, I've got some thoughts about today.
Okay, we'll look forward to those on Jaguars.com. Our thanks to Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and a Jaguars head coach, Doug Marone. Join us tomorrow, same time, 11:30. Dave Caldwell, Jaguars general manager, will join us on Jaguars.com live, and he'll take your social questions as well. For our entire crew back home and here in Indianapolis, I'm JP Shadrick, and thank you for watching Jaguars.com live, presented by Everbank.